The Positude Podcast, a one-hour show to bring joy, balance, and happiness to you and to negate the negativity in your life.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean fresh air.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. My name is Ira Robinson. We're wishing you a happy new year, and we are here, as always, with Maggie Hart. Hello, Maggie.
Hi, Ira. How you liking this weather, buddy?
It is cold, 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 cold. Way too cold for my poor old bones.
Yeah, it's cold for even up here. The penguins are coming inside. I can't deal. It's like too much.
I'm with you on that one.
I don't even want to see my heat bill. Are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. And I'm layered. Like, I'm totally layered. I look like I weigh about 300 pounds more now sitting here in this chair looking at you.
Yeah. I know how that is.
It's like I go outside in this parka. It's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. It's, you know, a parka, you know, but with three layers of clothes.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. That's okay, because it staves off the weirdos. They don't hit on me so much if they think I look, you know, rounder.
There you go. Exactly.
There's always a plus side, right?
Always look at the positive.
What we got here. What's that?
Always look at the positive.
There you go. I must look like a weevil because I have really small feet. I have like size 6 shoes, right? And that's just round. Oh, gosh. It's funny. So, funny stories. Funny stories this week I thought was really, really cool. Mike Myers was a homeless man, and he knew that he needed an ID, that the law required an ID, but he had to give up on getting one. He says, all that they gave me was excuses, recalling his efforts to get one as instructed. The start of the search for a new ID began 10 years ago when Mike lost his original one. He tried going to the DMV to get one, but that never worked. Until Deputy Jacob Stalwall showed up. 67-year-old Mike, who was homeless, had been begging for change along the highway every day so that he could get something to eat. Deputy Jacob told him to stop. Then he confronted Mike and asked for his ID in order to write him a ticket. That's when Mike revealed the struggle he had gone through with the Department of Motor Vehicles. I couldn't get an ID because I have to have a birth certificate. I never got around to getting a birth certificate, Mike said. Instead of just leaving him there or writing him the ticket anyway, the deputy decided to help. Jacob escorted Mike to the DMV himself, but then they insisted that they had no record of him ever having been there. So the deputy tracked down Mike's birth certificate and returned, but still they refused him. He said to me, so now, do you see what I'm talking about? Deputy Jacob recalled. It took a third visit to a different DMV with a formal letter on official sheriff's stationery before the deputy was finally able to get Mike his senior citizen's ID card. He turned out to be more of a friend than anybody else I've met in recent years, said Mike. So what do you think about that one?
Well, that one is really cool. You know, again, I've heard of so many people bash on police and that kind of thing, but there are times where they deserve a lot more credit than what they get. That is really cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. And, you know, the same goes here. I mean, you hear so many stories about, you know, bad police officers and things like that. And there are so many public service officials out there that go unrecognized for the simple things like this that they do every single day. How many stories have we seen, you know, like on social media about them buying coats and shoes for the homeless and giving them food and, you know, when they're out on patrol, if they see them getting them, talking to them to try and get them to someplace safe, you know, whether it be a shelter or something. Understandably, a lot of homeless people are mistrusting of shelters. They don't want to go there.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, and I can certainly understand in some cases why they would feel that way. But I've seen so many stories, especially with the frigid temperatures that we've been suffering here, actually all over the country. I mean, Florida actually joined the Winter Games and got snow. I mean, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But seriously, you know, they're out there handing out blankets and giving out food and things like that. And I had a personal scenario on Christmas Eve. My daughter left my dad's house and was going back to her apartment to get some clothes and then going to head to her dad's house. And she went off the ditch. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning on a very, very snowy country road. And there weren't any lights, you know, hardly any street lights, a very deserted area. And we had an issue where we called AAA and they told her that they were going to respond. And then 45 minutes later, they called her back to tell her they weren't coming,
oh,
that
geez.
The weather was too bad. But the officer that had initially responded to the scene, what had happened was a car had stopped, and it was a man, you know, and in today's day and age, you have to be careful, right? So he yelled down to her. He didn't approach the vehicle or make her nervous in any way. And he said, I just wanted to make sure that you're okay. Is your cell phone charged? Do you have, you know, your heat on? Is your battery working in your car? Are you okay? And she said, well, it just happened. And he said, well, I work for like the Department of Public Works or something. He said, would you like for me to call an officer? And so she did. I mean, that man, in the course of the 3 hours that she was out there, sat with her and checked on her. You know, he was the only patrol officer in the town on duty, you know, Christmas Eve going into Christmas Day from like 2 o'clock in the morning on. And he stayed with her and then came back and checked on her so that she wasn't at least alone the whole time that she was out there in the woods, because otherwise she would have been sitting alone in the dark in the woods by herself on a country road. And there was traffic, you know, so I mean, the potential there for something horrible to happen was pretty good, you know, had she not had that angel protecting her. So, I mean, I thought that was amazing. So he and the tow truck driver that went back to get her the next day actually baked them some fudge and made them some chocolate-covered pretzels and things like that and put a little gift package together and sent them off to both of them, because I ended up having to go rescue her after the 45 minutes when they called me, like, we're not coming. I was like, you're kidding me. You're not sitting there alone in the woods all night. So I got into a two-wheel drive vehicle and made it out there. It took me a little longer, but the roads were not horrible. I never slipped once, right? And so I got her, brought her back to my dad's, and then the next morning, we've got another AAA truck to go out there and get her, and he was just amazing. And, you know, so, yeah, you hear stories like this, you know, and personal experiences. I just happened to have one here a couple weeks ago. They really deserve more credit than what's being given
sure,
them. And,
absolutely.
You know, to look at everything negatively all the time and, you know, that they're horrible, that's not always the case, you know.
Well, and you look at a situation that's happening like right now where we have these really major winter storms going on. There's so much cold going on throughout the almost the entirety of the country. And, you know, we've got these rescue workers, the police officers, the people that are working for different departments of the state and that kind of thing. They're all out there trying to make sure that people are safe, that they're sound, that they're warm enough, you know, so on and so forth. And they're really the unsung heroes that are going on. And yet then people turn around and decide that they want to bash on, you know, this or that or the other thing. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't acknowledge when they do good things. You only call them out when something bad goes on, and the bad things that go on, you know, it's sort of like the bad apple in the bunch. It's, you know, one out of 1,000 might be that way. You don't acknowledge the other 999 that did something great. You know, I mean, that's just the way that I look at it, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the firefighters, that's another one. There was a recent somewhat local fire here, and, you know, the firemen rallied together to gather clothing and belongings for the family that had lost everything right after Christmas in the fire. You know, I mean, they're out there in all kinds of temperatures 24/7.
Sure.
And then even look at the people, you know, that have regular positions, that like the tow truck drivers, you know, people that rescue people that are stuck in ditches on these horrible roads. They're leaving their families alone to go out and help you.
Exactly.
You know, and so any kind of recognition that they can get positively, I think is a good thing. Right?
Me too. I agree completely.
So if we jump into positive phenomenon, this one is about a woman who she actually shared two pictures on the article. And she said that everything about the two pictures was different. I mean, in the first one, she looked very skinny, gaunt. Her eyes looked absolutely hollow and empty. That was the first thing that struck me, was not the expression, but the lack thereof in her eyes. And then the second one, she's chubbier. She's gained some weight. She's wearing makeup, and she's got a huge smile on her face. She just looks very much at peace, very happy, very satisfied. And when she refers to the pictures, she says everything about these two pictures is different, but the biggest change is what happened to me internally. The first one, taken last summer, she had just been released from the ICU. She says, I was so sick from my eating disorder, so depressed, and had zero will to keep living. I was over-medicated, dehydrated, and completely ill, both mentally and physically. 1 week after that picture, I found out that I was pregnant. Fast forward to today, and I am happier and healthier than I have ever been. God healed my body and gave me strength to work through the struggles I was having mentally. He gave me strength to endure pregnancy as well as walk through ED recovery. He surrounded me and an army of people who prayed and supported me so that I could do what had previously felt impossible. He is now giving me strength to parent alongside my husband to be the best mom that I can be. I have no idea how sick I was at that time. For years, I didn't want to see anyone do anything and was too tired to even smile. It makes me so sad to see where I was, but it makes me so happy to see how awesome God is and how he's able to take someone who was in such a low, dark place and bring them into a season full of light and life. I'm not here today because I did anything miraculous. Quite the opposite, actually. I'm here because I'm loved and I'm wanted. God never gave up on me, even though for a long time I gave up on him. He's been at my side through the darkest of times, and even when I tried to hide from his love. These pictures represent my love story with Jesus, how he has fought for me and how he has made me new. So that's the positive phenomenon for this week. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it absolutely is. That is a really cool thing. I love it.
So then we go. Isn't it great? I love when they get that strength to carry on and to just totally transform their lives from a seemingly hopeless situation. I mean, like I said, totally, she had, you couldn't even see any glimmer of light in those eyes. They looked soulless. They looked dark. They looked empty,
right.
You know? Just really amazing thing to see. So, and Seeds of Hope, this one I thought was really cool too. And, I don't even have words for this woman, but this was on a Facebook post from a page, and one of the other bigger pages got it, and so it went viral. And it's about the story of a lady who paid for a flight ticket for a stranger worth $749. While the woman wanted to be left anonymous, she was identified as Debbie Bolton. Bolton is a businesswoman from Nebraska. Online users reacted positively, stating that she was an inspiration. So the post states that a gentleman was looking up at the check-in counter, and this was from Love What Matters, which you know is one of my favorite sites to go to for positive stories. So the man was lining up at the check-in counter at the airport when the agent asked about his daughter's age. The man said that his daughter had just turned 2. The agent asked if she had a ticket, but the man was confused because he thought that his daughter would be able to ride for free. It turned out that the man booked the ticket before his daughter's second birthday, and so he needed to purchase a ticket for her as well. He mentioned to the agent that he couldn't afford to buy a new ticket, so the man stepped aside and made some calls, and the post stated that Bolton saw the man and asked him what had happened. After they talked for a while, they walked up to the counter together. Bolton told the agent that she would buy the man's daughter a ticket. The writer who posted on it was on the counter, as well as to the witness what happened that day. And, of course, you know, it's gone viral, 45,000 shares, 4,000 comments. But a woman that was a Filipino who was on the site said that she had a similar experience. And she said, it was then that I realized that the goodness of one's heart knows no race. It was at that moment that raised my faith in humanity, this woman wrote. And another person wrote, what an incredible act of kindness. I know I couldn't just put $749 on my credit card. What incredible generosity for a person in a situation. And then somebody else wrote, the story has a beckoning light to the world. that we all can give just in the best way we feel we can help to make others happy and show them we can all love one another. And so I just thought that was an incredibly touching story, the fact that the lady was able to afford that to help out the other person in his time of need and happened to be right there at the counter, I thought was just very, very cool. Just all around a feel-good story, really good feel-good story for Seeds of Hope this week.
Yeah, I love it. I really love it. You know, with what happened in that, it reminds me of, you know, how much we make a difference in people's lives, even by the little things that we don't ordinarily think about, you know. You know, for me, I've always said that I would love to be rich just so that I could help people out. And I mean, I would be right there with that person, you know, helping
yep.
out. That'd be like yep. one of the only reasons why I would want to be rich was so that I could just, you know, do everything that I could do to make sure that people were taken care of. It's great. I love that she had the ability to do it, and not just the ability to do it, but the heart to do it.
And that's exactly right. I mean, how many times, you know, there were a lot of people, I'm sure, that were at the airport that day that probably could have helped the man and maybe wouldn't have, you know, and you don't want to look at things that way in today's society. You want to be more positive, right? So maybe there were five other people there that would have offered had she not, you know. I think it's an amazing story. I mean, one of my things I wanted to do for a long time was start up another restaurant. My family had one for years. I worked in one for years, but something like that, but a little bit more of a delivery service rather than a fixed unit. And what my plan was to do, and that's someday I'm going to do this either way, was to take the extra food and the leftover food and use it to service a soup kitchen, you know, and just be able to whatever overflow, whatever doesn't get sold throughout the course of the day, add to that and have a soup kitchen so that people could just come in and get something warm to eat and just get warm, actually, in these weathers, you know. And then have a couple volunteers that would go and hand out sandwiches to people that were homeless that they found along the way. Something that I'm definitely going to do before I die. I just haven't found a way to be able to coordinate it yet, too, because I don't want to rent like a whole space for the month. You know what I mean? I want to rent kitchen space so that I'm not trapped in it, so I'm not there 15 hours a day, and do more of a delivery route. So that would allow me to utilize my church space, right, to do the soup kitchen thing. Do you know what I'm saying? So it would all kind of flow.
Right, exactly. Yeah, one into the other. Yep.
Yep, yep. So stuff like that. I mean, little things that we do every day we don't even think about can make absolutely a huge difference to others. Just shoveling the elderly person's step, or, you know, carrying in somebody's groceries, or, you know, if they're short a couple of dollars at the register and you have it, giving them the extra, you know, $2 and change to finish paying for their groceries, things like that. Those crazy kids. This one I thought was cool. Obviously, Harry Potter is kind of a little bit dated now, right? Is there a new one coming out? You should know with kids. You have kids.
There's not a new one that's coming out yet. They just released one, though, last year, I think it was. And it's sort of a subsidiary story to the main stories.
Was it a movie or was it a book?
They did make it into a book, a movie, but it was a book originally, yeah.
Oh, okay. So this group of students must have been into Harry Potter, and they decided to take the magic from the story literally when they put together what's probably the most unique Harry Potter related surprise that we've seen. And so there's an elementary school teacher named Mr. Scott, and he stands in for what appears to be like the school library with his eyes closed. And one by one, the students approach him with a special gift. The first one is a wand for him to hold, followed by a broom for him to ride, and then a colorful scarf for him to wear. Lastly, and most importantly, a student puts on a pair of Quidditch goggles on his face. And it's around this point in the video that is shared with the article that we find out that Mr. Scott has color blindness. He's never been able to see color, but after this magical gift, he can see color. So the school children ask him to open his eyes, and we can see all of the children standing in the library holding colorful signs and balloons so that he can experience the beauty of them all at once. And his reaction is truly, truly cool. And you can tell how moved he is when he says, "Aw, guys, this is awesome." The kids are so delighted and the colors are so bright that he adds, "I'm trying not to cry." And then there's a video that can go along with it if you want to put it up. But I just thought that was a really touching story. It was kind of a cool introductory way to surprise him, you know, going by the theme of the movie. I just thought it was interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, that is. I like that idea, you know, doing it as a little magic trick or something like that, you know, to make it happen. That is really cool. I like that a lot. I'm going to have to show that one to my daughter. she's heavy into Harry Potter. So, yeah, she's a big Harry Potter fan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and you can go down that whole spiritual path, too. You know, Harry Potter, so it's magic, so it's not something that certain religious sects like Christians, you know, will stay away usually from stuff like that. The whole premise, though, of the story and how the children had the foresight to, you know, get all these little props together to build up, you know, the excitement and to build up the surprise for this man and then to present him with this beautiful gift to be able to see colors that he'd never been able to see before. I mean, the end result is the same. You know what I'm saying? The man was miraculously, his life's been changed now forever with
right.
his glasses.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I just thought that was very, very cool. So what else have we got here? Let's see. Well, we got furry heroes. Okay. So this one isn't really a hero story this week, but I thought it was really cool and a very touching story, so I wanted to share it. Dita, and this actually happens to be in Amsterdam, New York, which isn't so very far away from here. I'm familiar with the area. It's a really nice city, actually, parts of it are. So Dita the dog was grief-stricken when her owner passed away at 86 years old. The pair had been inseparable. The woman's daughter, Teresa, inherited Dita in the wake of her mom's death. A few weeks after the funeral, Teresa, her husband, and Dita went to the cemetery in Amsterdam, New York, to place a Christmas wreath on her grave. And the family must have been Slavic, because the name Dita means little. She was being so quiet when they got to the scene of the to the cemetery and to the headstone. Teresa said that this was very out of character for her. It was as if she instantly sensed where they were going. And while she visited the grave plot, Dita grew more and more attached to the area, and then she refused to leave. And the dog was laying next to a stone that belonged to her mom and dad, Teresa's mom and dad. And you could actually still see the fresh dirt on her mother's grave. That's how recent the burial had been. And so she started to call to the dog, "Come on, Dita, let's go." And the dog walked to the edge of the patch of dirt in front of the headstone where the mom was laid and then wouldn't move. And they called to her and they called to her and called to her, and she wouldn't come with them to go back into the vehicle. She refused to leave her former owner. And then she turned around and went by the headstone, by the dad's headstone, and just lay down and wouldn't move. So they actually had to go and pick her up and physically move her to get her into the car to take her home. And it's just, to me, another example of how loyal and incredible animals are, and particularly dogs in a case like this. And how did she even know that that's where that spot was where her mommy was laid, right? And her daddy. How did she know that? How did she even know? It's just amazing to me, right? I think that's somewhat of a small miracle in of itself.
It is, yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about before is how, you know, spirits are electromagnetic. Dogs and cats, they're sensitive to that electromagnetism and that kind of thing. Maybe there was a portion of the energy still there in that place, and that dog knew, hey, this is where they are, you know, this is part of them. So I want to be here because this is part of them and they're part of me.
It could be that, you know, it could be, you know, dogs see things that we don't see, you know, did
yep.
she see, you know, possibly something there or an
yep.
angel there, something
exactly.
kept her on that site.
Yep.
And she knew, you know, and she, the look on the dog's face just was so forlorn and sad. It was like, you know, you can't make me leave. I don't want to leave here. It was just, it was very, very heartbreaking, very touching. Like I said, not our typical animal hero story, but I thought it was beautiful just the same.
Indeed.
And, you know, touching at the same time. You know, I felt so badly for this little puppy, you know, and for the family that had just recently suffered their loss. And, but then, you know, the fact that they were, they saw how loyal the creature was. They saw the love that the dog had for the parents. I mean, if they didn't know before, they certainly knew it at that point, right? And that was amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-mm-mm. Happiness homework. So, again, you know, cold weather, homeless people, so many of them are out on the streets, and so many of them are mistrusting of being led to shelters or going to someplace foreign that they're not used to. They don't know what's going to happen to them there. Some of them have had not ultra positive experiences in those places. So when we are able to support the homeless, we can do it in a couple of different ways. One of the suggestions that was made was when you get those little travel size toothpaste and toothbrushes and things like that, you know, shampoos and conditioners from hotels, just put them all together in a baggie and every so often bring them down to a homeless shelter and donate them. But one thing that I've started to do, and I've started to put the bags together, especially with it being so cold, is I have toothbrushes and little toothpaste and little shampoos and conditioners. And some of them made them down to Texas in the flood. I don't know what happened. I must have had more bags than I thought I had because I found another like little shopping bag with these little shampoos and conditioners and toothbrushes and toothpaste. So I started breaking them down into individual packs and putting like a snack in each bag. And so I'm going to want to, because I see so many homeless in this area, it's just, I think, quadrupled at least in the past year. Something that I'm not normally accustomed to seeing in this area, I'm seeing more and more of with the shapes of our financial times, you know. So to be able to hand those out to people as I see them. You know, in the summertime, sometimes when I'm walking, you know, I'll go to the park and I'll hand them a sandwich or whatever like that. But I'm going to be able to do this now. I'll be able to have these things like individually bagged. And then I can just, you know, at the stop signs where you see them, hand them out the window.
Yep.
You know, and I'm starting to gather old blankets too for the same purpose. So that, you know, I can just keep them in the trunk or whatever. And then when I see somebody like that, you know, if I have an old blanket that normally I would have donated to the Goodwill, or cut up to use as a dog bed, right? I'll just hand those out with these little packets. So something small, very inexpensive, usually something that you get free with the cost of your hotel room. Save them up and get them to the people that really need them, especially this time of year.
Yep, I call them blessing. I call them blessing bags. Actually, we've put together ones that have toothpaste and toothbrush. We've got a couple of coins, you know, maybe a dollar's worth of quarters in case they need to, you know, make a phone call or something like that, you know, or buy a cup of coffee or something, you know. What else have we put in there? Combs, you know, just plastic combs.
Yep.
And the nature trail granola bar kind of things, you know, toss in a little package of that. And so there's
that's,
at least,
yeah, that's what I meant by the snacks, like, yeah, Velveeta's or those little just granola bars, something,
yeah, something that'll preserve, you know, in the cold or when they're exposed and that kind of thing, so that they're not going bad, you know, but it's still some kind of thing that's going being able to go into the stomach. You know, things along those lines. I mean, in fact, I've got a big list of them over on our website at openeyesnetwork.com. If you guys want to take a look at what we've done as far as putting these things together goes. And you just, you know, we've got like a whole bunch of the gallon Ziploc bags, you know, and just toss them into the Ziploc bag and they're easy to just to just hand to somebody, you know, when they need it. So, yeah.
And for me, like I may have had more than enough purses than I needed at one time in my life.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really a materialistic person, but you know, I've been to a point where I've had way too many handbags.
You've and had so more handbag than Maggie a lot, right? More handbag to Maggie ratio.
Well, part of it is because I travel so much, you know, did, you know, and, you know, this time of year, not so much, but usually, you know, I'm on the road a lot. And even if it's just like a one day thing where I'm going out to do a clearing and blessing, you know, I've got my purse and it's usually an oversized purse with like all of my stuff in it for the day. Or I've got like a purse and like a book bag with me, like with coffee in it and, you know, extra gloves and, you know, just stuff like that that you need when you're traveling. If it's really bad weather, I'll throw an extra change of clothes in there just in case I get off the road somewhere and I'm wet, you know, and I'm cold, shovel, stuff like that. But shovel obviously doesn't fit in my purse. But I read about this a while ago, and I actually, this is a really cool idea, is when you take your old purses, instead of donating them to the Goodwill, fill those with goodies and then hand those out to the women, you know, that you see on the street. Because they have the purse, they can carry it with them wherever they go. Most of them, you know, depending on the circumstances that they're in, if they're standing on a street corner, they might have, you know, a backpack or something like that. But 9 times out of 10, when you see them, they've got just the plastic shopping bags, which are susceptible to the elements, right? And they get wet. And this way, they feel, I think it gives them a little bit of a feeling of pride, too, should they have to go into a store, to not have to carry a whole bunch of items in plastic bags. They can throw everything into a handbag and carry that in. And I think it does a lot to help them with their sense of self-esteem. I know that, you know, with adoption shelters, same way, you know, you see kids going into the adoption shelters, and we've talked about that on previous episodes. I did a story about that where children are going into these homes in the middle of the night and they're already displaced from their home and they're walking into homes with shopping bags and garbage bags. So there was a drive from this one organization to donate suitcases to the children so that at least they could put their meager belongings in some sort of something that looks a little more presentable, that give them, you know, a little bit more of a sense of self-esteem when they were going into a stranger's home
right. In
the middle of the night, you know. So I thought that was a cool idea, too. So save your hands, Ira.
Ha-ha, there you go, indeed. And, you know, one thing as well that most people, when they do these little blessing bags and that kind of thing, because, I mean, I've seen other people do the same ideas, you know, one idea that can go with it as well that most people don't really think about is, you know, things that are like the feminine hygiene kind of thing, like tampons or pads or something like that. Because, again, you know, it's not just guys that are out there that are homeless and, you know, the ladies need help too. So, you know, things along those lines, soaps and, you know, I mean, just the ideas that can go into it are endless, you know, mouthwash, Band-Aids, you know, cause they're always going to be, you know, dealing with that kind of stuff. And if you can afford to do it, you know, even some, sometimes you can throw in a little, tube of like Neosporin, the triple antibiotic or something like that. You never know, you might actually be saving somebody's life by doing something along those lines. So, because infections and that kind of thing are really common with people that are having that kind of dire straits, you know.
Absolutely. And like my child, when she was little, how many kids have those knit stretchy magic gloves and they lose one and they have but not the other? Right. So I was actually going through the closet just the other day and I came up with 6 mismatched gloves.
There you go.
I don't know how they escaped me all these years, why they didn't get, you know, thrown out. But, you know, just to put a couple of gloves and an extra knit hat that you have laying around in the bag, too.
Yep.
Right?
Or a warm pair of socks or something. Yeah. A warm pair of socks or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly. So there you go. That's your happiness homework for the week. Please do that. Please do anything that you can do to help somebody else, whatever it be. So, okay, do you want to go into the music? We're going to do the full song for the intro and entry for this show, which is Radio Station by Pat Carr. And it's short, but what do you think? You want to play that one?
We sure can.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity for people to hear the whole thing again. We played it once before, but we'll do it again and just kind of refresh it for old Pat. I love Pat Carr.
Sounds good. Here you guys go. Enjoy the song. It's really cool.
Gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world, breathe a little clean, fresh air, find a place to offer up a silent prayer. All those years I spent in lonely eyes,
know that my Lord has made me whole. I'm gonna buy a radio station, play a little music on the air, spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna do some talking about Jesus, telling everybody everywhere to turn the people on to the love that's there.
So there you guys go. Pat Carr radio station. Really cool song. I like that. One thing I like about Pat Carr is that he's got a really varied amount of styles in his music. And it seems like every time we play something from him, it's something completely different.
I know. Yeah, he's just like that. He's just so cool. So check him out on SoundClick, pwcarrmusic.com. Buy his album, support his stuff. He's a really good guy. I love his stuff. I absolutely do. I'm so happy that he's letting me play his music. He's just an amazing person.
Indeed.
So let's, hey, and you know, just for people that are questioning, well, why would you give him shampoo and conditioner? And going back to the homeless thing, something that occurred to me is people might question that idea. Well, because at least in this area, I see a lot of them going into the public, like truck stops, you know, where they can pay a couple bucks for a shower,
right,
to get a shower, or using even gas station, public bathrooms.
Yep.
You know, they do tend to wander into the public bathrooms, especially the ones with the outside doors with the keys. And, you know, sometimes they stay in there to keep warm, which is why the gas station started coming up with the whole key idea, was because they found people that were vagrants that were living in their bathrooms, right? But they'll go in there to wash and brush their teeth and things like that. So that's why those things are essential for people in need, because they may not be able to have an opportunity. And, you know, if they're in a really... if they're in a really bad area, you know, the gas stations, a lot of times when you go in there, how many times are you traveling on the road and stop at a gas station and ask to use the key because you just can't hold it till you get to the next thruway exit or whatever, you know, you get off the thruway, or just driving on a back road. They don't have a lot of times even soap in the bathroom, you know. So things like that, and even a cheap washcloth to throw in there just so they can, if not wash their face with that, have something small and compact that they can carry to dry themselves a little bit after they do wash.
Exactly. Yep.
There you go. Just wanted to bring that up because it popped in my head. Well, what people ask about that? You know, why would you? Well, that's why I would. Cinnamon. We've done this before when we've gone through our herbs for the first Sunday of the month when we do an herb. And then we do a tincture or a tea or something like that. I wanted to revisit cinnamon just because, as you know, we've gone through the whole list and I'm trying to come up with some different things here. Everybody knows that cinnamon is a really strong antibacterial. And so I just recently took a course for holistic remedies. It was an online class. And I got a lot of really cool different recipes from that course that I hadn't previously been aware of. And I wanted to share one of them with you. It's a cinnamon antibacterial spray. And you can use it as a mouthwash spray, which I thought was really cool, because how many of us, I don't, but how many of you go to the stores and go to the checkout lines and spend like $3 on those little melt strips or those little Badaka breath sprays or things like that? You can make your own for pennies on the dollar. And another reason that I like this is in the class, it said that the cinnamon antibacterial spray can be used on feet to prevent odor and to help combat fungal infections. And you know how much I hate dirty feet. I hate feet in general, but dirty, stinky feet. You know, it's wintertime. You know, you're putting on these heavy winter socks and, you know, you're wearing boots all day, some of us. You know, and at the end of the day, your feet can start to get pretty nasty, right? I have a habit when I get out of the shower, first thing in the morning, is I have this peppermint lotion that I put on and then put my feet into the socks and then into the boots. Number one, because it revives. And the cinnamon kind of does the same thing. You know, it kind of gives you just like a tingly sensation. You know, it feels really good. It feels clean. And, you know, the fungal, I've never had a problem with fungal infections, thankfully, but I know that a lot of men do suffer from that, particularly athletes, you know. So here, if you have children that play sports, again, it's a really cost-effective way to help, like, hockey skates. Hockey's huge up here. And if you ever been inside of a hockey locker room, you don't want to be.
Yeah.
The stench in there is just ungodly.
Yeah.
So for things like that, you know, pennies on the dollar. And it's a really simple recipe. You can make several batches to decant. You can use it around the house. The cool thing with this is because it's antibacterial, you can also use it around the house to, like, clean, like, your kitchen counters and your bathroom counters if you prefer.
Right.
And with cinnamon being kind of a seasonal scent, as we typically know it around Christmas time, this is a really good time of year to be able to utilize something like that. So I thought we'd try this one. Very simple. 8 cinnamon sticks, 4 cups of water, and a spray bottle. That's all that you need. So what you do is you break up the sticks. You put them in a saucepan, add the water, bring it to a boil, remove it from heat, let it steep for about 45 minutes, and then let it cool, strain it, and decant it into the spray bottles, and you're done. It's so simple. And again, you can use it as a mouthwash spray. You can use it on your feet. You can even use it in your car as an air freshener, for that matter. Spray it on counters, any place that you want to just have a clean that'll kill some of the germs. What do you think?
I like that myself. I'm a fan of the smell of cinnamon. The taste of it is, it depends. I mean, I have to be in a mood to really enjoy it, but I don't mind it, you know, most of the time. But I've heard of an alternative version of that as well, where you use vodka instead of water, and it makes it much stronger, you know, much more potent, so that you don't have to use as much. You can swing either way. It just depends on the direction that you want to go, though. The water will be the water version of it. It has a strong taste, but it doesn't seem to last as long as the vodka version, the tincture version of it. But, you know, a lot of people out there don't want to have alcohol in their spray. So it's kind of a good alternative for those. You might have to use a little bit more frequently. But, you know, there you go, as an alternative.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the tinctures and recipes call for vodka as an alternative to water for exactly that reason, but you hit it right on the head. A lot of people don't want to use alcohol or actually even spend the money on the vodka, right?
When
water,
right,
you can get just virtually, you know, again, it's a much less cost, much more cost effective
exactly
way to do that.
Exactly. If you're going to use water, though.
Do
what?
Go
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, if you're going to use water, though, you want to make sure to, you know, purify it in some kind of way. You don't want to do, like, you know, the heavy chemical kind of water or something like that. If you're going to use water, I would say, you know, use water that's
distilled,
been, like, distilled or something like
or
that.
Or purified.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't use tap water right out of the sink.
Right.
That's kind of defeating the purpose.
Yeah, that was kind of my point. You don't want to add the chlorine and you know, all the other goodies that go into it on top of it.
Well, I, with the vodka, I kind of gauge it for shelf life expectancy. If it's something that I want to really keep around for a while, I know I won't use a lot of it. With the water, it does tend to lose its potency.
It does get stale, yeah. It does get stale.
Yeah. So absolutely, that's a great idea. If you want to extend the shelf life, go with the vodka. But either way, you know, and again, like I said, hockey time here, ice skating season here. You go into these locker rooms, and I think, you know, it'd even be a great gift to make up to for some of your friends, you know, whose kids play hockey and stuff, because, boy, those locker bags, those hockey bags just, oh, they stink.
Yeah.
And you pick up the smell. You pick up the smell from the locker room. Like, all you have to do is walk in there and set your stuff down. I know this because my kid played hockey. And you just walk in there and you pick up the stench on your bags. It's like taking home bed bugs from New York City or
yes,
something. It's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
So do you want to swing into doing the comedy here, Maggie, or what do you want to do?
I think we should go right into comedy. I think Comedy Corner would be cool. This one's about New Year's resolutions.
I have a lot of them.
Oh, man.
Nah,
I know that.
I'm kidding. Actually, I don't do New Year's resolutions, but we'll talk about that maybe when we come back from the comedy. Here you guys go.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
I'm just curious, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Okay. How many of you kept them? Your hands are going up. I did not make any this year. Last year, my resolution was to stop procrastinating, and I still haven't gotten around to it. So I'm starting a new rule. You shouldn't be allowed to make any New Year's resolutions until you finish your old ones. That's my rule. That'll keep America busy right there. I don't know who came up with this tradition, but is New Year's Day the best time to start a resolution? You wake up at noon, you're hungover, you're not even sure where you are. It's not the time to worry about a new diet. You have bigger priorities. Like, well, where are your pants? What? Trying to figure out why there's a banjo in bed with you. You're covered in Cool Whip. Anybody? Anyway. Hypothetical, I was just wondering. I was curious what kind of resolutions that people made this year, so I asked my Facebook fans, and here are a few. Thank you, Danny. It's not his name. This comes from Lisa Rangel. My resolution is to look great naked, giving myself 2 months before my trip to Vegas. What are you planning to do in Vegas? Wow. Sharon Aya DeMarco, I think. Mine is to quit smoking for the children and grandkids. Ellen, I don't know if you read these. Geez, I can't even keep up with my own Facebook, and I'm not famous. Well, Sharon, I do read these, so maybe your resolution should be to have a little more faith in me. Patty Eldridge says, my resolution is to quit men. Some are easier than others. Misty Warren, this year I'm not going to miss an Ellen show for anything short of my own death. Now, some people have their priorities in order. Good for you, Misty. I wish you all success with your resolutions this year, and right now I'm going to stick to my resolution I made 10 seasons ago to dance after every monologue.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say no divorces in 99! Yeah!
But your divorce isn't even final yet.
Just the one divorce in 99! You know what? I am going to be happy this year. I am going to make myself happy.
Do you want us to leave the room, or?
Every day, I am gonna do one thing I have never done before. That, my friends, is my New Year's resolution.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah?
Mine is to pilot a commercial jet.
That's a good one too, Phoebes. Now all you have to do is find a plane load of people whose resolution is to plummet to their deaths.
Maybe your resolution should be not to make fun of your friends, especially the ones who may soon be flying you to Europe for free on their own plane.
She has a better chance of sprouting wings and flying up your nose than you do of not making fun of us.
In fact, I'll bet you $50 you can't go the whole year without making fun of us. You know what? Better yet, a week.
I'll take that bet, my friend. And you know what? Paying me the $50 can be the new thing you do that day. And it starts right now.
All right, my New Year's resolution is to learn how to play guitar.
Oh.
Really? How come?
Well, you know those special skills I have listed on my resume? Well, I would love it if one of those was true.
Do you want me to teach you? I'm a great teacher.
Oh, really? Who have you taught?
Well, I taught me, and I loved me.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, thanks, Phoebs.
Oh, look, Blair forgot her glasses. And she's gonna really be needing these to keep an eye on that boyfriend, who, from what I hear, needs to keep his stapler in his desk drawer, if you know what I'm talking about. Hey, Rach, maybe your resolution should be to, gossip less. What? I don't gossip. Well, maybe sometimes I find out things, or I hear something, and I pass that information on. You know, kind of like a public service. Doesn't mean I'm a gossip. I mean, would you call Ted Koppel a gossip?
Well, if Ted Koppel talked about his co-workers' botched boob jobs, yeah, I would.
Well, they were like this!
That was a segment from Friends. I absolutely loved that show. I wish Yeah. There's just not quality television out there anymore, in my opinion. But what'd you think? You like those?
Yeah, definitely. Are you saying I'm a gossip? Was that to me? I think that was to me.
No. No. You don't gossip. You share information.
Exactly. I'm doing it as a public service announcement.
Yeah, Ellen, you know, I kind of, sometimes she's funny, sometimes not. A couple of her comments in there, I was kind of, eh, but whatever. I couldn't really find too much in the way of New Year's comedy that was clean, to be honest with you. So we got what we got, and I hope you enjoyed it. But New Year's resolutions. So you don't make New Year's resolutions. I don't either. I make life resolutions. I try and make every day, you know, be the way that I want to live it. And,
exactly.
And when I see that I'm doing something wrong, I try and fix it and correct it and be better for the next day or, you know, when I meet the next person down the road. What do you think?
Well, I live by the adage of, you know, what can I do tomorrow to make it better than today? You know, whatever, even if today was a great day, what can I do tomorrow to make it an even better day? And that's sort of what I focus my energies on. I used to live very negative and concentrate on the, you know, issues that I had going on and all of that. And it turned me into a drama queen. I won't deny that, you know, but I've learned over the years to kind of step away from doing that and focus much more on, you know, bettering the, not just myself, but the people that are around me, because if I have good energy going on, I know that other people around me are going to have good energy going on too. And even if they don't, then it's not going to impact my energy, if that makes sense. And I also, you know, Benjamin Franklin said, if you do the same tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today. So what are you going to do tomorrow to make it into a different day?
Exactly. And, you know, that's kind of the same premise that I come from is, you know, make each day the best that you can. If you see that you've made a mistake, recognize it. You know, apologize for it and move on,
exactly.
You know, and just try and do better. And that's kind of, you know, how this is supposed to go. We're a work in progress, right?
Exactly.
The fact that we're aware of our mistakes and we're aware of our shortcomings and our forthcomings, number one, that makes us human, right? No one's perfect. But if we work on the things that we want to change every single day, I mean, how many people seriously make New Year's resolutions and keep them? You know, I drive past the gym and wave at it every day. You know, I'm not a gym person.
Yep.
You know, I like to do my thing at home in the privacy of my own home. I'm not one of those, you know, put on fancy outfits and go to the gym. That's just not my thing. Some people prefer the gym. You know, if you skip a day, don't beat yourself up over it. You know, make up for it the next day or do something that's a little more active the next day. Like maybe climb a few more sets of stairs rather than taking the elevator. Things like that, and just in the essence of humanity and being a better person, you know, recognize your mistakes, forgive yourself for them, ask for forgiveness, don't let it eat you up, and move on. I think that's where a lot of people get hung up on New Year's resolutions, is I think that psychologically it causes them to have feelings of failure when they don't keep them,
right?
But they weren't driven enough to keep them to begin with, you know, maybe for procrastination, maybe they just got busy, you know, and things just kind of spun out of control. Don't beat yourself up over it. Do the best that you can every single day. And I think you'll be much better off in the long run. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And when you make resolutions, I think that one of the issues with it is that a lot of times we're setting ourselves up to fail, sort of maybe intentionally even with our subconsciouses liking to skew our lives towards the negative sometimes. The resolutions are a really great way to make that kind of thing happen. So, you know, again, the little steps that we take every day, those are the things that make the difference in our lives, not some big resolution that we make at the beginning of the year and then the next day completely forget about.
Absolutely. There you go. So there are our thoughts on New Year's resolutions. Positive affirmations in scripture. I chose, I never know what amazing, incredible person I will meet next. And a personal experience happened to me just last night. I was driving. It was the middle of the night. I was getting done with my work for the day. And I saw this guy and I, from behind, he was soaking wet. He had only a hoodie on in these frigid sub-zero temperatures. His jeans were soaked up to his knees. He had snow caked around the bottom of his jeans. He had like sneakers or something on, no gloves, no hat, no mittens. And just the way that he was walking, hunched into the cold from behind as I was approaching him in my vehicle, he just looked so just forlorn and downtrodden. And so I pulled up alongside, not close enough, you know, maybe a couple feet away, and I called out to him and I said, "Are you okay?" And he kind of looked at me, and I got a really good look at his eyes and his face, and I knew he was safe. You know, it wasn't something that I needed to be physically threatened by this gentleman. So I said to him, "Where are you going?" He told me. I said, "Well, get in. I'll drive you." And so we talked on the way over, and he had already walked like several blocks, like three blocks in the freezing cold, and the roads were not plowed, so he was just soaked. And he says, "Look, I'm really thankful for the ride." He said, "I'm soaking wet. I'm freezing. You know, I'm very appreciative." And he actually seemed apologetic when he said where he was going. You know, first when he got in the car, he's like, "It's only a couple blocks." It ended up being a little bit longer. And I'm like, "Don't worry about it. I'll just bring you." And then, you know, I said to him, "What are you doing out on this night, you know?" And he's like, "Walking alone at night in an unplowed road. It's freezing out. You're soaking wet." He says, "Well, my girlfriend and I just had a fight and we broke up, and I'm just trying to get to my mom's house." So I drove him to his mom's house, and then I got there, and I felt horrible because the driveway was not plowed at all. If it were 2 feet of snow, I mean, honestly, I would have tried to traverse it. I would have tried to get up there and get back out, you know, but it was impassable. There was no way. So here this guy who's already soaking wet and cold, he's blowing into his hands as he's talking to me on the whole ride, right, gets out of the car, and now he's got to walk through, like, 2.5, 3 feet of snow to get up to his mother's door. And, you know, I watched him get safely inside, and, you know, just the energy, the way that he was talking to me, the look on his face, I can tell that he's still in love with this girl, and I just know that they're going to end up back together, right? But to me, that was just, you know, it was tired. It was the end of my shift. I just wanted to go home, take a shower, spend some time with the puppies, and go to sleep. And, you know, I needed to stop and talk to that guy and pick him up and help him out. And to me, he was an incredible person because, you know, I mean, he was in a bad situation. Either he got told to leave or felt that he needed to leave, whatever his personal situation was. But here he is walking out, you know, in this freezing cold temperature, trying to get to his mom's house. And I could see the love in his face for this girl. So, you know, everybody's incredible, right? But I never know what amazing, incredible person I will meet next. And I'm thankful every time I have. Any one of these experiences to me is always a positive opportunity. There's always something positive that I can glean from it. So write this down, you know, put it on a post-it note, put it on your phone. The scripture that goes along with it, I chose Proverbs 7:15, King Jimmy. "Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee." So that's the positive affirmations in scripture for this week. Use them. They'll make you feel better. They'll give you strength when you need it. You know, say these over and over, reflect on them, meditate on the scriptures, and see what you come up with. Things my dad says. How much time we got left?
We've got about 3-ish minutes.
Okay. Stay inside. Ira, would you like to know what I'm doing this afternoon?
You are staying indoors.
I am staying indoors, but I forgot to tell you earlier when we talked before we started to record, I have to go shovel off my roof. Yeah. So I'm not listening to my dad today, but, you know, in light of having a roof on the little addition I have here, that's my dining room, I need to go out and get on a ladder and go up on the roof and shovel off the roof.
Oh, Lord.
But normally, in frigid temperatures like this, I mean, if you don't need to go outdoors, stay inside. Don't go outside. Make yourself a pot of soup, put on a pot of tea or a pot of coffee or, you know, just some hot mulled cider or apple cider vinegar and water. Drink something warm. Dress appropriately inside. Put on, you know, hoodies or pajama pants or sweats. Just stay under a blanket and read a book or spend some time with your family. Play board games. Watch a movie. Do something. But when it's like this outside, if you don't need to go out, stay indoors. And if you want to come help me shovel my roof, I'd be happy for the help. But no, seriously, stay inside. There's really no reason for you to be out. If you don't have to go out, stay inside, stay warm, stay safe. And if you do have to go outside, please dress appropriately. This gentleman last night, he was totally on a mission to get where he needed to go, and he wasn't dressed. Obviously, his girlfriend had picked him up in her vehicle, right? Or he had taken a cab down there.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, but if you've got to go out, dress warm, dress appropriately. Wear gloves. Put a hat on your head. It only takes minutes to get frostbite, especially in these temperatures. And take care of those that have nothing in these temperatures. Throw them a blanket. Give them a coat. Whatever you can do to help. There you go.
Sounds wunderbar.
We getting ready for Oktoberfest?
Sauerkraut and bratwurst on the way.
There you go. Well, there's another one down in the books, Ira. What do you think? Thank you so much for all of your help, and thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks. Thank
Absolutely.
You, Ira.
Have fun out there. Keep safe, everybody. You know, make sure you guys stay warm and toasty, because it's definitely a cold, cold day out there. Have fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
Gonna buy a radio station. Play a little music on the air. Spread a little love to the people out there. Gonna go out walking in the world. Breathe a little clean fresh air. Find a place to offer up a silent prayer.